It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. Christian, when you were a kid, did you get bullied?
I did. Really, I'd been picked on by the same kid from first through eighth grade. He was just relentless, and he loved to really mangle my name.
This is Christian Piccolini.
It just got to be a lot, and I remember one day he had challenged me to a fight. And I had avoided it for years, and that day I just decided I was going to go face my fate once and for all. And when I met him at the playground after school, of course, the whole, you know, eighth grade class was there cheering him on. And, you know, he started circling me and talking trash. And then when he closed in, instinct in me reeled back my arm, threw the first punch, knocked him down, gave him a bloody nose. And then hesitated for just a moment before I jumped on top of him and kept punching him. I had suddenly gone from this invisible nobody to somebody that felt a little bit of power. And eventually, I got detoured down a really dark path that changed the course of my life.
What happened?
Well, after acting out for several years in my teens, one day, just a normal day, I was standing in an alley where I would hang out by myself, and I was standing there smoking a joint at 14 years old in 1987 when the roar of a car kicking up rocks and gravel and dust down an alley screeched to a halt right in front of me. And the guy got out of the car. He walked up to me and he snatched a joint from my lips and he looked me in the eyes and he said, "That's what the communists and the Jews want you to do to keep you docile." And he asked me what my name was. And nobody had done that. Everybody had always made fun of my name. And when I told him what it was, when I was waiting for the punchline, instead what he said was, "Ah, that's Italian. You should be very proud of your heritage."
Who was this guy?
His name was Clark Martel, and he was America's first neo-Nazi skinhead leader.
Christian Piccolini picks up the story from the TED stage.
I started to listen to the rhetoric and believe it. I started to watch very closely as the leaders of this organization would target vulnerable young people who felt marginalized and then draw them in with promises of paradise. For the next 8 years, I believed the lies that I had been fed. And though I saw no evidence of it whatsoever, I didn't hesitate to blame every Jewish person in the world for what I thought was a white European genocide being promoted by them through a multiculturalist agenda. I blamed people of color for the crime, the violence, and the drugs in the city. And I blamed immigrants for taking jobs from white Americans. For the next 8 years, I saw friends die. I saw others go to prison and inflict untold pain on countless victims and their families' lives. And I myself committed acts of violence against people solely for the color of their skin, who they loved, or the God that they prayed to. I stockpiled weapons for what I thought was an upcoming race war. And 25 years ago, I wrote and performed racist music that found its way to the internet decades later and partially inspired a young white nationalist to walk into a sacred Charleston, South Carolina church and senselessly massacre 9 innocent people.
It gave me that identity, community, and purpose that I had been searching for. You know, now I was not powerless anymore. I was, I had this perception of power. You know, I went from this place of not being raised a racist, not understanding racism, and in fact being raised as the opposite, to this place where I became the most extreme racist that was willing to be violent and take up arms to protect what I thought was dear to me. You know, I think we develop hate as a mechanism, to really not blame ourselves for, you know, some failures or some voids that we've been unable to fill.
hatred is a powerful force and something we all have the capacity to experience. It's part of being human. It's a feeling embedded deep within us. It's just that some people feel its pull more deeply. So today on the show, we're going to explore what it means to hate, its causes and complications, and how we can eventually find a way to fight against it. And in order to talk about hate, we're going to hear a few stories on today's show that are pretty violent with some graphic descriptions. So just a warning if you're listening with kids. And for Christian Piccolini, the hatred he had for other people, it actually started with the hate he had for himself.
If I made people feel worse than I did, well, then that made me feel better about myself, and that might have been the only way that I could actually feel good about myself. Many, many other people were doing that, if not all of them, were projecting their own pain, their own trauma, their own unresolved issues onto other people so they didn't have to feel it themselves. But I also think it was about ignorance and isolation and fear. And, you know, we were all broken people and misery loves company, so we found each other.
So by your mid to late teens, you'd become like a full-blown neo-Nazi?
Yeah, by that time, I'd taken over leadership of this very infamous skinhead group called the Chicago Area Skinheads, which was the first one, because the man who recruited me, Clark Martel, had gone to prison for a vicious crime against a woman who was a part of this skinhead group. They had seen her at a bus stop with a black man, and because of that, they went to her apartment and kicked in her door, and they beat her and pistol whipped her. And then just before they left, they painted a swastika on her wall with her own blood. Fortunately, they were arrested for that. However, unfortunately for me, it gave me an opportunity to step into that position, which, you know, I readily took on because I was always searching for that feeling of respect.
But then my life changed. At 19 years old, I met a girl who was not in the movement, and I fell in love with her. And at 19, we got married, and we had our first son. And when I held my son in my arms in the delivery room that day, not only did I reconnect with some of the innocence that I had lost, but it also began to challenge the very important things that drew me to the movement to begin with. Identity, community, and purpose, things that I had been struggling with as a young boy. And suddenly, I became very confused with who I'd been for the last 8 years. So I stepped back as a leader, and instead, I opened a record store that I was going to sell white power music in, of course. But I knew that if I was just a racist store selling racist music, that the community would not allow me to be there. So I decided I was going to also stock the shelves with other music. And while the white power music that I was selling was 75% of my gross revenue, because people were driving in from all over the country to buy it from the only store that was selling it, I also had customers come in to buy the other music. And eventually, they started to talk to me.
And they knew who I was. These were people that I'd seen before, people I'd gone to high school with, people who, you know, were strangers to me but knew who I was. And at first, when they came in, I really wasn't all that interested in talking to them. And then they kept coming back. And over time, you know, of course, the conversations grew and they became, you know, more personal. And I started to recognize that I actually had much more in common with these strangers, these people that I'd kept outside of my social circle, than I did with the people that I'd surrounded myself with. And I started to receive compassion from the people that I least deserved it from when I least deserved it. And that, to me, was the most powerful, transformative moment.
So did, like, getting pulled out of this world of hate, did that happen gradually?
Well, you know, I think that over time, as I began to meet the people that I thought I hated, the demonization that had been living in my head, you know, started to become replaced with humanization. But it was also hope, that I think, that allowed me to see that there was more to my life than what I was involved in. You know, becoming a part of that movement was almost like a person deciding they're going to start committing suicide in daily increments. You know, this is like going on your last drug binge knowing that you're not going to make it out, or going out in a blaze of glory. And that's kind of how I saw it. I didn't think that there was any future for me. And then suddenly I saw that there was a whole world out there that I didn't even acknowledge.
I mean, do you think that it's possible to, I don't know, to reverse the hatred in anyone who was like you?
I know it's possible. Huh. For me to deny that would be me denying my own transformation.
For anybody, anybody could be pulled out of it?
I think anybody can. I think hate is learned, and I think that love is a natural instinct that's suppressed by hate. And I think that we can unlearn hate and reinstate that compassion and that empathy in somebody. Listen, I've worked with some of the people that most would consider monsters, people who were, you know, both born into this and grew up to be Klansmen just like their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And I can tell you that these are some of the most amazing human beings I've ever had the pleasure to meet and work with and now call friends, because they're doing some of the most groundbreaking, amazing things possible. But I also want to acknowledge something. You know, there's something about us as former white extremists getting a second chance. I want to recognize the privilege in that, because there are a lot of folks of color who are not getting that same second chance. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. And certainly I've done things that are worse than, you know, the average person. And if I can change, I believe anybody can.
Christian Piccellini. He's now the founder of the Free Radicals Project. It's an organization dedicated to helping members and their families disengage from hate groups. You can see Christian's full talk at TED.com. On the show today, ideas about why we hate. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.